Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to watch and listen this afternoon. Since my update last week, I'm pleased to advise that there are no new cases of COVID-19 that have been detected on our island. This is good news and means we continue to be relatively certain that our island remains free of the virus. I do accept, however, that these figures must be put into context. We suspended the option of a test on day 7 of self-isolation for anyone who returned to the island on or after Monday the 12th of October. Now, despite the suspension of our 7-day testing option, I want to be quite clear that testing continues. Since announcing our intention to suspend 7-day testing a fortnight ago, over 1,500 tests for COVID-19 have been carried out on our island. This continues to be made up to those who have called 111 to request a test because they feel they have COVID symptoms, arriving key workers such as those in our health and care services, and screening before various hospital consultations and operations. The decision to suspend the option of a test on day 7 was taken as an added precaution because of the levels of the virus in the United Kingdom and Ireland, particularly the northwest of England and Northern Ireland. It meant we reverted to the gold standard of 14 days of self-isolation to be reasonably certain that anyone who might be carrying the virus will have stopped shedding, preventing the virus from circulating in our community. The Council of Ministers is continuing to explore the number of options on how testing might be adapted in the coming weeks and months. Nothing is off the table, and we continuously review options for our island. Whether that's consideration around the resumption of 7-day testing, testing at the borders, and mass testing. Now, I know that a small number of our people in our community are having to regularly travel back and forth between the island and England for medical appointments for serious conditions, and are finding the repeated cycle of complete self-isolation for 14 days challenging. In some cases, people have not even finished their self-isolation before it is time to return to the UK for another medical appointment, to then head back to the island only for a further 2 weeks of self-isolation to start all over again. And I want you to know that we are aware of this concern, the impact it is having, and we are exploring what role the resumption of day 7 testing might offer in these circumstances. Now, at its meeting yesterday, the Council of Ministers discussed the situation in Guernsey following a cluster of 4 cases of COVID-19 being detected on the island in recent days. Naturally, many of you have questions on what this might mean for the air bridge between our two islands, particularly with scheduled Oranje flights resuming tomorrow for half term. Our Directors of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Ewart, who joins me today, has been in close and regular contact with her opposite number in Guernsey so that we can fully understand the latest developments there. This is what we know. Guernsey's index case, that is the first person to test positive for COVID-19, was detected on Monday. As with our suspected case last week, this result came about from an individual who was displaying no symptoms and only sought a test as they were due to travel to a country that requires confirmation of a negative COVID-19 result before entry is granted. Now, unlike our suspected case last week, however, this was not a false positive. What is making this case particularly challenging is the fact that the individual had not left Guernsey in the past 14 days, and as Guernsey has no COVID cases in the community, the source of the infection is unknown. The only conclusion that can be drawn at the moment is that it is likely to be transmission from someone who had a 7-day test and received a false negative, but who was in fact asymptomatic and unknowingly to them, shedding the virus. This is the risk we have sought to avoid by suspending our day 7 testing option. Alternatively, it may be transmission from someone who has broken self-isolation and who has not been caught doing so. Unfortunately, 3 close contacts of the index case have also tested positive for the virus. This is what brought Guernsey's number of active cases to 4. But as they are all related to the index case, it means we are looking at a single contained cluster. The public health team in Guernsey have been hard at work carrying out test and trace. When the Council of Ministers met yesterday, there were still around 60 test results of close contacts outstanding. We determined that the results from these tests would be crucial in helping us to fully understand the level of risk that the cases in Guernsey pose. Now, I've often spoken of the balance of risk. The requirement for the Council of Ministers is to weigh up the costs and benefits of any given scenario, and this is no different. Unfortunately, a further 3 cases have been detected in Guernsey overnight, taking the total to 7. Again, these are all linked to the index case. Earlier, I spoke to the Chief Minister of Guernsey, Deputy Peter Fairbrush, and advised him that the Council of Ministers has taken the decision that, in order to protect our community, the air bridge that is self-isolation free travel between the Isle of Man and Guernsey is suspended with immediate effect. Now, I know this will be bitterly disappointing for those of you who have visits to Guernsey booked and to businesses here on our island that were looking forward to welcoming our friends from Guernsey. I know it will be equally disappointing for the people of Guernsey who are planning to travel here. And we will work with Oranie to ensure that residents for both islands can get home. This was not an easy decision to make. We have taken many factors into consideration. Half-term returning students and the approach of a complex Christmas period. A difficult decision, but one we feel is right for our island. I have always promised you I will do my utmost to protect our people and its people, our island and its people, I should say, particularly those who are vulnerable. The air bridge was established on the understanding that it could only operate whilst both islands remained free of any significant transmission of the virus. These latest positive test results mean that, sadly, the scales have tipped. Guernsey's approach to managing the virus is very similar to ours here in the Isle of Man, and so I have every confidence that they will quickly bring the virus under control. We will keep the situation under review, and I sincerely hope that we are able to re-establish the air bridge as soon as possible. And I'm sure you will all join me in wishing the people of Guernsey all the very best. I would now like to invite Dr. Henrietta Ewart, who has been working closely with her colleagues in Guernsey, to provide a brief update.
Thank you, Henrietta.
Thank you, Chief Minister. The Chief Minister has outlined the situation in Guernsey, which is that there are now 7 confirmed cases. The public health authorities in Guernsey have been extremely vigorous in their contact tracing and wider testing connected with this case, and have tested extensively as indicated by the contacts of the positive cases. No more positive cases have been identified through that, which is very reassuring. In addition, Guernsey has very easily accessible testing for people with symptoms that may be possible COVID. And the numbers coming through that testing continue to be high, and no positives are being identified that way. So what that means is that so far, this does look like a contained cluster. There are no sporadic cases being identified in the community that are not related to this cluster. And that's very reassuring. The issue is that it's too early days to be absolutely categorically sure that the cluster is contained, and with self-isolation of those identified, both those testing positive and those identified as close contacts, even if they haven't yet tested positive, the situation should be brought back under control and they should be able to revert back to COVID-free. But we won't know that until sufficient time for the virus to work through its incubation phase and so on has been had. So that will really be around, 7 to 8 days before we can be a little bit clearer on whether the cluster is contained. It's worth drawing the parallel really with the recent experience in New Zealand, where, having themselves been COVID-free for over 100 days, a case was then identified, and that then led to the identification of further cases in various community settings, up to a number of about 200 in total. Again, rigorous public health interventions to contain it were eventually successful, and New Zealand is now again COVID-free. But that experience just does indicate the amount of time it can take for these things to play out and why we need to be cautious in our approach until they've done so. Thank you, Chief Minister.
Thank you very much, and Henrietta. Now, as my good friend Minister Ashford is under the weather, with 3 days of bed rest prescribed, and I've got a dose of man flu, I've sent for the doctor to shore us all up. And so here is Minister Allenson to give you an update on events from a Department of Education, Sport and Culture point of view. Alex.
Thank you, Chief Minister. Around the world, COVID-19 continues to cause disruption to people's way of life, cause anxiety, sickness, and unfortunately deaths continue. It's been estimated that 90% of young people, some 1.5 billion, have had their education disrupted so far. Universities across are dealing with recurrent outbreaks, and large numbers of students are in self-isolation. Schools in the United Kingdom are having to operate under strict precautions. Due to your efforts, the Manx public, our schools have managed to operate normally since they reopened in September. Today's pupils look forward to half term next week, and we have a chance to pause and reflect on what we've been through. This week, the Department of Education, Sport and Culture published a review into the provision of remote learning so far. I'm grateful to all those teachers and school leaders who contributed to this, and the parents and pupils who provided feedback. In March, our schools needed to close quickly, and a hub model was established for vulnerable children and those of key workers. Learning and teaching quickly switched from the classroom to the living room as parents adapted to often working from home as well as supervising their children. We have gone through the biggest disruption to education in our lifetime, and I'm proud of the way that teachers, school staff, parents and pupils responded and adapted to a rapidly changing and uncertain situation. The review shows that in March, 74% of teachers were able to provide remote learning immediately, and over 69% of parents and pupils agreed. But issues were encountered around the timing and volume of work provided and the extent of feedback received. Now is the time for us to reflect on what has happened and build a more resilient remote learning system for any future challenges we might have to face. The review makes 10 recommendations. These cover areas such as communication with parents, platforms for remote learning, feedback to pupils, staff training and development, and the volume and quality of remote learning required. We are setting up a team of remote learning specialists we have on our island to support schools and further develop new ideas. We must seize this opportunity to establish technology as an intrinsic part of learning. By using the lessons we have learnt, we can expand teaching, support students unable to attend school for whatever reason, and enrich classroom lessons. The review identified that 16% of families did not have access to online learning. At the start of the lockdown, schools lent out iPads to those students who needed them, but we can do better. I'm very grateful to the Scheinberg Relief Fund, who have sponsored a new programme to support students who will be sitting A-levels and GCSEs next year. Teachers are identifying those who may be digitally disadvantaged, and they will be loaned a laptop with internet access. We will support them through the next academic year to use technology to enrich their learning and monitor their progress. It was always important for us that the health emergency, that no one was left behind. We now have the opportunity to try to ensure that everyone is able to meet their full potential. Last month saw Manx students head to universities across for the first time or to resume their studies. Students also returned to UCM, where an increased range of courses has given a real opportunity for more to enter higher education and gain valuable life skills. The health situation across is concerning, and the Council of Ministers is monitoring it very carefully. Some students have already returned home and have safely quarantined. The Education Service is in regular contact with universities across and has correlated where our students are and when they might be expected to come home. This week, we are contacting all registered students to ask them when or if they may be returning so that we can plan for this and ensure that they, their families and our community are kept safe. Local lockdowns are being declared on a daily basis in England, Scotland, Wales and Ireland. The Chief Minister has established close relationships with the Northern Mayors, and when our young people want to come home, we will do everything possible to make sure they can. Government is already looking at how we can use the spare capacity in the hospitality sector to accommodate those who cannot safely self-isolate at home. Our pupils, students and young people are our future. They didn't ask for this pandemic, and they have been directly affected by it. Their studies, mental health and general well-being have all been attacked. As a government and community, we need to support them and ensure that they can make the best of the opportunities available and succeed in reaching their true potential. Thank you.
And thank you very much for that update, Alex. And now over to our friends in the media for your questions. And starting with Alaman Newspapers, Sam Turton. Good afternoon, Sam. Faster Mai.
Faster Mai, Chief Minister. It's obviously, a natural place to start is with Guernsey. What will be the process for Manx residents who are currently in Guernsey?
Well, obviously, this is just breaking news, Sam. We're working on this as we speak. We have people from Guernsey on the island at the moment, a small number, and we have a small number of people in Guernsey from the Isle of Man. So Orany were due to come over tomorrow to drop off people from Guernsey and pick up, and therefore we hope we'll be able to sort out between now and then the ability for Manx residents to get on the returning flight and then to pick up people from Guernsey to enable them to get back to Guernsey. So that's being worked on at this moment in time with Orany, and we'll give further details. We'll update when we've got that sorted.
And secondly, the Director of Public Health in Guernsey has told their press briefing that they do have this is being transmitted in the community, but she has said it is being tracked at the minute. Is consideration being given to isolating any residents returning from Guernsey or testing them on arrival in the island?
Yes, I'm afraid we think we are going to have to ask everyone coming back from Guernsey to quarantine for the 14 days as if they had been to the United Kingdom because of this outbreak. Now, it's something I do really regret having to do for people. They've gone away with the hope to have a break without having to quarantine when they get back. This was the last thing we wanted to do, but we think that it's the safest thing to do is the 14 days. And again, that's being worked on as we speak. I don't know, Henrietta, if there's anything you'd like to add on that.
No, I think that covers the situation. It is in the community. It's not widespread community transmission there, but it is a risk and we have to take a cautious approach.
Yeah, I think to be clear, Sam, this is one person who's had the case and they've now passed it on to all their close contacts have been tested by Guernsey and where they work, where they play effectively, and seven people, them plus six, have come back as positive. So there may well be a chance that there is a wider spread. Guernsey have been very efficient. They've acted really quickly to get to the bottom of this, and I sincerely hope that there aren't any further cases. But just when you've got several plane loads of people from the Isle of Man and Guernsey going backwards and forwards, when you know this information and it's increased overnight, then I think it's a very sad decision, but I think it's the right decision for everyone concerned. So thank you very much for your questions, Sam, on that.
Yeah.
Next, we have Josh Stokes from ITV Granada. Good afternoon, Josh. Faster Mai.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. First question follows on from Sam's, really. There may be people who are staying with family in Guernsey or had plans to stay there for a prolonged period of time. What is your advice to them? Is it a simple case of if you're in Guernsey, get ready to come back to the Isle of Man?
Well, the choice is theirs. If they've got a method of getting home, if they've gone over there with a private plane, then obviously they can come back when they want to, but they will have to quarantine for 14 days. If they're reliant on Orany getting them back, then obviously they will need to come back on the arranged flights, because I can't see Orany wanting to travel between the two jurisdictions on a regular basis whilst we have suspended the bridge, because everyone will have to quarantine if they come onto the island. So we will obviously be issuing further updates when the flight from Orany will be for residents to come back, because there was one planned for tomorrow anyway. So it's not something that will have to be hopefully organised. It's already there, but there may have been a few people deciding to stay a few extra days, and we will obviously, well, we've only just made this decision, Josh, and therefore we're working through the logistics of ensuring we get our people home and helping the people of Guernsey go back to the UK now, but back to Guernsey now. Obviously they won't need to quarantine because they've come from a jurisdiction where there are no cases. It's purely our people coming back to the island, and of course we'll do our utmost, but I felt it was important that the minute we had the information on how those additional tests had gone overnight and this morning, that once we had that information, Council of Ministers sat and then we came straight to yourselves to give an update, because we know there are several hundred people who will be packing, getting ready to go off the island, and we felt it was really important that we let them know the minute we had made our decision. And your next question, Josh.
Yeah, my second question, obviously Orany is Guernsey's airline and one that was making a profit from routes to the Isle of Man. Was there total agreement on both sides, or was there any form of resistance from government in Guernsey when Comyn decided to suspend the air bridge?
Well, no, I mean, I rang up and spoke to their new chief minister, Peter, and obviously I was very sad to have them make the phone call. But this is only a suspension. We're not cancelling the air bridge. Obviously, when we are both happy that it's under control and the transmission potentially in the community has gone away, that threat, then we will be looking to re-establish this. This is something, a bridge that's been very popular with people on the Isle of Man and very popular with the people of Guernsey. So I'm sure, Peter, we had a very brief conversation because he was about to give a briefing to his people too. So I'm sure they were... they were acceptant of it. There was no arguments or whatever. It was a sad thing that we had to do it, but I think it was the right decision. And if you, having listened to what our Dr. Henrietta Hewitt's mentioned regarding New Zealand, they may well have it under control, but I just think it would be irresponsible of us if we'd have allowed several hundred people to go to Guernsey, several hundred people from Guernsey to come to the island, and then we found out that there were further wider cases related to this test, or people that have tested negative but could be asymptomatic, and if they were tested a few days later would be shedding. So it's just one of those things, I'm afraid. And you know, Guernsey did take it with very good grace and are very keen, along with myself, to ensure that we get the air bridge up and running in the near future once it's safe to do so. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. We move on to Simon Richardson from Business 365. Good afternoon, Simon. Fastamai.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. My first question is, there were rumours circulating in Guernsey that the cluster was linked to a large event last Friday night. Have the Guernsey authorities been able to categorically rule that out as a cause?
Right. Well, I haven't been in direct conversation with the Guernsey Public Health Team. So maybe that's something Dr. Hewitt might like to comment on, please.
Yes, I can confirm, based on information from my opposite number in Guernsey, gathering event-related cluster.
So, thank you. And secondly, Dr. Hewitt, maybe this is aimed at you specifically. Are there any differences between the Isle of Man's COVID protection regime and that of Guernsey?
No. To date, and Guernsey still remains in this position, neither island has any internal COVID security measures. So we don't have social distancing. We don't currently recommend use of face coverings, etc. We don't have restrictions on gatherings. We do, of course, and Guernsey does as well, continue to stress the hygiene and respiratory etiquette messages. So, you know, wash your hands, cough and sneeze into a tissue, bin it, wash your hands again.
Yeah, if I can come in on that one, Simon, there is a slight difference, not from the from how Henrietta's described it, but from who's allowed in to our islands. On the Isle of Man, we only allow our own people who've been away, coming back, key workers, our patient transfer, etc. Guernsey are, because they're in a lower risk area of people travelling in the south, I think it's one-tenth of the infection rates that we have in the northwest, and therefore they do allow family members who don't live in Guernsey, for example, to come in to Guernsey, as long as they do the same quarantine 14-day period as ourselves. So they are allowing more people to come in, but their risk is slightly different to ours. So that's probably the only real difference there. Right, we move on to Alex Bell from BBC Isle of Man. Good afternoon, Alex. Fast am I.
Afternoon. Last week at the conference, you mentioned that now would be an opportune time and the Council of Ministers would be reviewing some of these rules around self-isolation, for example, the ability for people to self-isolate with their own family members. Have you had a chance to review them since?
Well, we've asked for more details. It is a highly complex situation because it's not just people isolating at home. It's whether we keep with the 14-day test, but do a 7-day test, whether we test everyone that comes onto the island on day one, whether we do mass testing. This is a major piece of work, and we've asked our medical experts, Dr. Ewart being one, along with the Department of Health and Social Care. So we will be having a workshop next week to go into this in far more detail, Alex. It's not quite as simple as maybe we had initially thought, just to make sure we get it right. But obviously, this has happened. We've had obviously a problem with the good people of Guernsey, and we've had to put significant efforts into working on this to get the decision right, because I know how many people will be very disappointed that we have had to suspend this air bridge. And your next question, Alex?
A question to Dr. Ewart, if you please. Obviously, we've now seen in Guernsey that there is the possibility of community transmission. It's come back there effectively through unknown means. Do you yourself believe, as an expert in public health, that the Isle of Man's current system is leak-proof?
No system is leak-proof. In the absence of repeatedly testing every member of the population on a regular basis, you cannot know that you are completely COVID-free. We are able to describe ourselves as COVID-free because we still have easy access to testing. We have easy access to testing for anybody who is symptomatic, and we are not picking up any positive tests through that mechanism. We also do what could be called surveillance testing, actually in the context of people who are attending hospital, either for treatment here on the island or because they are due to go over to Liverpool for specialist treatment. Those people are all tested. In that context, those are people who are asymptomatic for COVID. And again, we are not picking up any positives through that route.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex. I'd just like to say we're never going to get utopia on this, Alex. We come up with the very best that we can. There can be never any guarantee in that topic. The only guarantee I can give you all is death and taxes will happen to you. We'll move on to Manx Radio now. And Tim Glover. Good afternoon, Tim. Fast am I.
Good afternoon, fast am I. With the testing documents that you're looking at and the review that's taking place, Dr. Rachel Glover, not involved, and yet she's probably the one that knows more about testing and testing frequency than anyone else on the island.
Well, I think it's we listen to all advice, obviously, but we listen to our own medics. Qualified Director of Public Health standing to my left here, and all social care, and we will be listening to their advice, and if their advice is similar to external advice, then that's something, of course, we'll take into consideration.
Can I just ask for clarification there from Dr. Henrietta Ewart? Will you be talking to Dr. Rachel Glover as she has the knowledge?
We certainly have spoken with her in the past, and she has joined in calls with other laboratory staff on various topics. So, Yes, we work with Rachel. Obviously, there are issues about governance when one works with external people, because one needs to be clear that one isn't prioritising one voice over others unless there is a very clear reason and a governance line for doing so.
And can I just ask as well, on the cases in Guernsey, and we've got this referred to as an index case on Monday, the first case, they must have caught it from somewhere else. Isn't that the risk, that it could be out in the community rather than this cluster? Can you just explain the whole concept of a cluster?
Yes, a cluster is effectively identified going forward from an index case. So that's what we've got with the people that have been identified so far as close contacts. What we also try to do in public health is trace backwards when there isn't an obvious source to see if that can be identified. And that's the reason for the very wide contact tracing and testing that Guernsey have been doing, way beyond just the comparatively small number of defined close contacts of that index case. So Guernsey is doing everything they can to track it back and see where it may have come from, and whether that means there may be other lines of transmission beginning to be set up in the community. Unfortunately, it is quite often the case that that source will never be identified, but they have certainly put the mechanisms in place to track it if it's possible to do so.
Thank you very much, Tim. I think it's also worth pointing out that Guernsey will be doing their tests, like ourselves, of cases going into hospitals, etc. Yeah. So they will have been doing their tests on a regular basis, and they haven't picked up anything anywhere else. So, as I say, we do wish the people of Guernsey all the best, and hopefully they can get on top of this in the next week. Next, we have Leanne Cook from 3FM. Good afternoon, Leanne. Fast am I.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. My first question, can you confirm how many Guernsey residents have arrived on island since the first COVID case was identified there?
I don't think we've had anyone come from Guernsey to the Isle of Man since the case has been identified. Obviously, we're working on the numbers. There were some people already on the island from Guernsey, and that's something that we're working on at this moment in time. But we're not talking hundreds of people, to the best of my knowledge, Leanne. We're just talking a much smaller number, but they had all arrived on the island previous to this case being discovered.
Okay, thank you. And my second question, will there be any government support to help hospitality businesses which have lost significant bookings from expected Guernsey residents?
Well, obviously, we've just made this decision, Leanne. We have announced a further package to help with our hospitality people, whether it be hotels, self-catering accommodation, where we pay, we give support so much a room if their income has fallen below a certain percent. I think it's below at least 25% based on the last 12 months. So obviously, if that drop in income puts people in that category, they are then entitled to make a claim from the Department for Enterprise to help support their business. So obviously that will be reviewed. If people have been impacted by this, then that may well put them in the category where maybe they weren't before.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Leanne. And last but not least, we have Mr. Paul Moulton from Isle of Man Television. Good afternoon, Paul. Fast am I.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. Good to be back with you, although apologies, the sound is still not good, so I hope I haven't already heard this one. You said it was breaking news. You're making things very quickly decisions. I'm surprised. Surely you must by now have every sort of scenario ready, because you've had time to think about it. Being, you know, getting ready for any scenario should be what you should be planning, yes?
Well, Paul, I think I gave a State of the Nation, well, I don't think I know I gave a State of the Nation address on Tuesday to Timwell members, where I pointed out one day you're standing on firm ground, the next day that ground underneath you has dissolved. And effectively, you don't know what situation you are going, you know, I can't say there's an exact textbook case and this is what we're going to do. We found out about a case in the community from that had happened in Guernsey, but we didn't know how widespread it was, what the numbers were. Now, they tested, and we obviously have a clear indicator that if it goes over a certain level, and if you look at our own border strategy, if you've got over 5 cases in the community, then that enables us to review our policy on freedom of movement into nursing homes, for example, wearing masks maybe on public transport, asking people to social distance when they're out and about. So it was only when we realised that there were additional numbers coming in, and we therefore decided to wait to get the latest results from the remaining 60-plus cases to see whether there was any further cases or whether that was it, and it was just a very small number of people who were impacted, because we have always expected at some stage it may happen either on the Isle of Man or in Guernsey, and it really depended on the numbers involved. And sadly, there are now 7 cases in the community which have all been traced back to the first case, so 6 cases plus the first case, and therefore, because of that number, we felt we need, and we've only just found that information out in a meeting not long before this press conference, and I felt it important to get it out to you. I don't know, Dr. Hewitt, if there's anything you would like to expand on that.
Yes, I think each of these eventualities has to be responded to in its own specific context. It's actually very difficult to draw up more than broad principles, which obviously we have in the context of the response plan. But the actual fine details need to be bespoke to the specific context.
OK. And your next question, Paul?
Well, it refers to you. I'm watching you coughing and spluttering, and I'm thinking to myself, if you say you've got man flu, should you not be checked, first of all? Should you not be isolating yourself? And shouldn't you be catching it and binning it rather than just coughing into your hands? Should you not be leading by example?
Well, I thank you for your kind words, Paul. Obviously, I have had a blood test which shows that I've got antibodies for COVID, so it's highly unlikely I have COVID-19. A couple of my colleagues have sadly had a bad cold with a sore throat, and I've succumbed to that, so I'm cautiously optimistic and I will be going home, but sadly, because of the seriousness of the situation, I have had to continue working. But I thank you for your concern.
We've all got to... Isn't the message, though, if you do feel unwell, I mean, you've just taken a Council of Ministers meeting, you could have infected people... it may be just the cold, it may be flu, it could be anything. Isn't it a responsibility, seriously, that everyone who doesn't feel well should either test or isolate themselves at the moment?
Well, if you feel that you have COVID symptoms, then you should ring the 111 helpline and have a test. I clearly don't have COVID symptoms. I've had it in the past and I still have antibodies. And I chaired the Council of Ministers with a number of ministers online, Paul, like we are doing now. But thank you for your concern. It's lovely to have you back. Right.
Thank you.
That's all for today, folks. Thank you very much for your time. Have a good weekend, and we'll speak to you hopefully on Thursday. Thank you. Bye-bye.